Morning, everyone. What was the first gift that God gave to mankind? In Genesis 1 and 26, even before life, Genesis 1 and 26, starting verse 26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And then verse 31, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." Unlike anything else that God had created, he gave to mankind the distinguished honor to be created in his image. In doing so, God gave us his respect and a reason to respect ourselves. The Apostle Paul said, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring," Acts 17 and 28. So God extended respect to us. We're going to talk a little bit about respect this morning. Mutual respect is absolutely necessary in any relationship if that relationship is to thrive. And God gives us the pattern. God teaches us that to receive respect, you must first give it. God shows us that he respects us and values us in many, many different ways, and we're going to look at a few of those this morning. First, God gives us respect by being attentive to us and sensitive to our needs and provides for them. Psalms 8, starting in verse 3, David says, "When I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." God is mindful of us. God visits us. He crowns us with glory and honor. In Matthew 6, starting in verse 31, Jesus says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." James 1 and 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." God shows us respect by being attentive to us, by being aware of our needs, and eager to provide all things good for us, to build us up, and to sustain us. God also shows us respect by honoring us. As David said in Psalms 8, "For thou hast made him a little lower than the angel and crowned him with glory and honor." What did we do to deserve that kind of respect? We didn't. But he gave it to us. Made him a little lower than the angels and has crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Has put all things under his feet. So God offers his respect to us because in the way that he honors us, in the way that he gives us power over his creation. God shows us respect by giving us freedom. God gives us respect by giving us freedom to choose how we think and behave. In Joshua chapter 24, starting in verse 14, Joshua is speaking to the children of Israel, and he says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers serve on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." In the Garden of Eden, God gave Adam and Eve a choice. And by that, he gave us and showed us respect. He would not force us to do his will. He would plead for us to do his will. But he would not force it. But that is not to say that he does not guide us. God shows us respect by telling us the truth. When a person lies to you, they are not showing you respect. When Satan lied to Eve, he was not showing her respect. But God shows us respect by telling us the truth and guiding us in his will. He doesn't leave us to flounder with this freedom of choice. In 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 2, Peter says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." God didn't just create us, give us a choice, and say, "Figure it out." God respected us enough to give us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All the instruction that we would need, he gave to us so that we could succeed. God also shows us respect by giving us stability, by giving us consistency, by giving us predictability in His responses to us. In Titus 1 and 2, it says that God cannot lie. As I mentioned earlier, Satan lied to Eve, and by that disrespected her. God would not disrespect us by lying to us. He cannot lie. What He says He will do, He does. In Leviticus 26, starting in verse 3, God tells the Israelites, "If you walk in My statutes and keep My commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall receive into the vintage, and the vintage shall reach into the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid every beast out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish My covenant with you." He tells us how we can gain His respect. He tells us what His responses will be to our actions and our choices. And then He carries those promises out. Romans 8, starting in verse 35. Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God gives us stability. God gives us predictability. He respects our need for stability. Mankind needs stability. Mankind needs to know what's going to happen. If I choose this, that's what's going to happen every time. And in doing so, God gives us respect. And finally, God humbled Himself, or Christ humbled Himself, and sacrificed Himself out of a desire to respect us. Out of a desire to lift us up, even if it cost Him His life. Philippians 2, starting in verse 5, says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of a man. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." God showed us a great deal of respect, a great deal of value, esteemed us valuable enough to sacrifice Himself in order that we might be lifted up. But God did not just give his respect to us. God also required our respect back to him. He requires us to respect and honor him in return. He demands that we esteem him above all else. In Exodus 20 and 3, he tells the throne of Israel, "Thou shalt not have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." God extended his respect, his honor, his esteem to us, and in exchange, he commands us to esteem him above all else. He demands that we submit to him and serve him. Mark 12 and 29, Jesus says, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." I heard on a show on TV, it's been years ago, and I wish I could remember exactly the quote. But one of the actors in the story said that if God is a God that would allow anything, then God is not a God worth worshiping. God demands that we show him respect. God demands that we submit to him and serve him. God demands that we honor and respect him as our Father and as our Creator. Exodus 20 and verse 7 says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain." God has respected you and I by creating us in his image. He's respected us by being attentive to us. He's respected us by honoring us, by giving us all that we need. And in return, he expects us to not slander his name, but to give him honor and respect. If God did not require us to respect him, then we would have no reason to think that what he has to say is important. Respect is what we owe. Respect is what we owe God, and he will have it from every one of us. It's just a matter of time. We will either give it to him willingly, or he will force it from you. Romans 14:11 says, "For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess God." When it comes to judgment, and we approach the throne of God, whether you have respected God or not, you will. You will bow to him because you have no choice. He will command your respect. However, that's not how God would rather have your respect. That's not the respect that God is seeking. Not a respect forced out of you. It is true that our respect for God initially, for most people, is usually motivated by fear. Proverbs 1 and 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Fear is the beginning. But our respect for God cannot continue by fear alone, if it's going to be a relationship. We may start our relationship with God, our respect for God, out of fear for his authority and his power. But if we're going to have a relationship with God, it can't stay there. It can't remain motivated by fear. There is much more that God wants for us than respect of his authority. As he reveals himself to us, we learn that his demand for our respect is not a power trip. He isn't interested in power. He's got it all. His demand for our respect that may start out as fear of his power is the avenue by which he can prove his love for us and provide the best for us, even at a great cost to him. He demands that we respect him in fear, but he wants us to respect him out of love for him. And that's the part he leaves up to you to choose. You have no choice about respecting him out of fear. You will. But you do have a choice. He leaves the choice with you as to whether you will respect him out of love. Whether you will respect him because you understand that he loves you and that he cares for you and that he has extended respect to you. So this pattern that we see God interacting with us, of God treating us with respect, giving us respect, and being worthy of our respect, is a template for how all of our relationships, all of our other relationships, are going to function if they're going to be close. Like God did with us. If you want to be respected, you must first show respect. James 3, starting in verse 6. James says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among your members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, and is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear all the berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom." We cannot show respect for God and then curse man and not give respect to man that's made in the likeness of God. We must be willing to humble ourselves for the benefit of building others up and respecting them. In Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 22, Jesus says, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." Being angry with somebody without a cause, that's disrespect. "And whosoever shall say to his brother, Rakah," which means to tell him he's worthless, "shall be in danger of the council. But whoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. We are not to tell others that they are worthless. We are not to call each other degrading names. We show respect to one another by accepting responsibility for when we've hurt each other and seek to make amends. We show respect by thinking on the needs of others before the needs of ourselves. We must be more concerned about esteeming others and building them up than being built up yourself. We must be attentive to the needs of others and not focused just on what we want and what we need. So God's pattern of extending in respect to us and us returning that respect to him is the pattern by which all of our relationships need to function. So let's take a look specifically at some relationships. What about our respect between husbands and wives? Husbands, if you want your wife to respect you out of fear, then intimidate her and constantly remind her of how you're in power and authority. You can command that kind of respect because God said that you were in command. God gave you the authority over her, but it will be the death of the relationship. It is not the relationship that God wanted or intended for your marriage to be. So how do you speak to your wife? If someone overheard you speaking to her and didn't know that you were married to her, would they guess that you loved her? Would they see your admiration for her and how you treat her? How do you speak about your wife when she's not around? Is she the old lady? Do you tear her apart? Do you criticize each other? And every little thing about her that you find annoying? Do you treat her like she's not worth your time and attention? Would you let anyone else speak to her or treat her the way that you do? If you want her to respect you out of love, then you must do as 1 Peter 3 and 7 says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." 1 Corinthians 7, 3 says, "Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence or kindness, and likewise also the wife unto the husband." If you're going to have the closeness that God wants you to have in your marriage, show your wife respect. Respect by listening. Respect by understanding how she thinks and feels. And respect by adjusting how you interact with her based on that knowledge. Look for ways to demonstrate how precious she is to you. Colossians 3 and 19 says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." Ephesians 5, 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Show your wife that you respect and value her enough to sacrifice your desires and your interests to give her encouragement and support. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 28, says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord of the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." What this is saying is, if your wife is going to respect you, then you have to respect yourself. You have to have respect for you. Love his wife, loveth himself. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Care for her and treasure her as you would care for you. Show each other that you respect each other's needs and are eager to provide what you can to help them meet grow. Let them know how often you think of what a blessing it is to have them in your life. Seek to protect and defend each other. To defend each other and protect each other from those who would not show respect for your mate. Wives, how do you respond to your husband's thoughts, your husband's feelings, your husband's decisions? Do you respect the fact that he is called to lead and encourage him in this responsibility? When you are with other women, do you hold your husband in high regard? Or do you speak of him like he's another child that you have to lead around by the hand? Ephesians 5 and 33 says, wives, see that she reverence her husband. To reverence your husband, you must honor them and hold them in awe and respect. God does not expect us to worship our husband or wife, but to hold them up as special and precious to you. You know, we often put pictures of our husband or our wife on our walls at home. We carry them in our wallets. We put them on our desks at work. We put them in a prominent place where others will see how much we value them. But do we put them in a prominent place of honor and respect in our hearts, our speech, our actions, and our priorities? If your marriage is not what you want it to be, if you and your mate are not as close as you would like, it may be because of a lack of mutual respect for one another. This respect that God shows us and expects back from us is also moves on into the relationship between a parent and a child. But it's not independent of the relationship between a husband and wife. The respect between a husband and wife directly affects the respect between parents and children. If I don't honor my wife, then my children are not likely to treat her with respect either. If a wife constantly criticizes her husband, then the children are not likely to value their father's instructions and correction. Dr. Dobson says, It is most important that a child respect his parents, not for the purpose of satisfying their egos, but because a child's relationship with his parents provides the basis for his attitude toward all of the people. His view of parental authority becomes the cornerstone of his later outlook on school authority, police, and the law, the people with whom he will eventually live and work, and for society in general. If you want your child to accept your values when he reaches his teen years, then you must be worthy of his respect during his younger years. This factor is important for Christian parents who wish to sell their concept of God to their children. They must first sell themselves. If they are not worthy of respect, then neither is their religion, or their morals, or their government, or their country, or any other value. If they are not worthy of respect, then neither is their religion, or their morals, or their government, or their country, or any other value. In Ephesians 6, starting in verse 1, God tells us, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." In this scripture, we see that just as God first demands our respect and obedience out of fear of his power and authority, parents also must demand the respect of their child first, out of fear of their power and their authority. You notice it commands that children first obey their parents. But it doesn't stop there. Just as with God, this initial respect is just the avenue by which parents can show their love and respect for their children in hopes that the child's respect will become motivated by admiration, be motivated by honor, rather than fear. So our children start out, us as parents start out requiring our children to obey us. And hopefully, they move to verse 2. Honor thy father and mother. Ephesians 6 and 4 says, "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Colossians 3 and 21 says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." These verses are talking about the importance of developing the second kind of respect. Here God teaches us fathers not to antagonize and exasperate our children. If you have children, I would encourage you to learn what exasperated looks like on their face. He calls us to respect them, respect their efforts, nurture them, encourage them. Don't put them in no-win situations where they cannot succeed. They cannot possibly succeed at doing what you want them to do because you've locked them into the corner. Don't humiliate them to make yourself look more powerful, more intelligent, and superior to them. Respect them, and you will teach them to respect themselves and others. We are to be attentive to their thoughts and their feelings. Don't curse them. Don't call them names. Just like God says, don't curse me. Don't call me names. Treat them with respect. Don't treat them as if they are stupid, worthless. And as parents, if we have made a mistake and we have wronged them in some way, we must be willing to humble ourselves and admit to them we are wrong and apologize for it. This shows respect for their feelings, for their needs. It shows them that we value our relationship with them enough to sacrifice our own pride, to heal their hurt, and to keep the relationship strong. It teaches them that taking responsibility for their own actions is respectful to others and will gain them the respect of others. This relationship of respect, mutual respect, back and forth, doesn't stop there. Our mutual respect with God and our relationship with God, our mutual respect with our mates, our mutual respect between parents and children, it moves on to mutual respect between employers and employees. Employees are to obey their bosses because of the authority and power that they hold. But go beyond that. Go beyond that. To respect them and be good employees from the heart, out of service and love for the Lord. Ephesians 6, 5 through 9. Employers are told to avoid prolonged threats to gain their employees' respect, but to seek to treat them fairly and justly, without partiality and favoritism. 1 Peter 5 and 5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. God calls us to respect those who are older. Submit to them. Submit to one another. Honor and esteem them as valuable mentors to us. Ephesians 5:21 finally asks us to submit one to another in the fear of God. When I submit to you, I show you respect. When you submit to me, you show me respect. When we understand God's respect for us, the value He has placed on us, even to the point of sacrificing His only Son to save us, and we give Him our respect and honor, then we become close. Then we become close to God. It's this pattern of mutual respect, of giving respect to others and receiving the respect of others, that makes any relationship that we're in capable of being close. It is because I see the respect and honor between Christ and the church as his bride that I know how to respect and honor my husband or wife. The closeness I enjoy with God, my Father, because he has given me his respect and honor, and I have returned that respect to him, compels me to give my children respect in hopes that they will return it to me. Because God loves us and seeks our good, we gladly offer our respect, our admiration, and our service back to him, and we seek to do his will. Because he demands our respect, yeah, but more importantly, because he wants our respect, and because he has given us his respect. He will command respect. But that's not what he wants. What he wants, he leaves up to us. What he wants is for us to respect him, respect his will as being good for us, and to follow us out of love. That he eternally leaves up to you. If you would like to move to that kind of relationship with God, you have to start with humility. You have to start with accepting the respect that he's given to you that you didn't deserve. And you have to start by returning that respect to him. If you're in need of the invitation this morning, please come forward as we stand and sing.